I will call the April 25th, 2013, Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority Board meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Mr. Wilkins.
Here.
Mr. Sheldon.
Here.
Mr. Arvin. Mr. Butcher.
Here.
Chair Short.
Here.
We have a call.
Thank you. We have an agenda in front of us. I'm not aware of any changes, amendments, or...
No, Chair.
Okay. Motion to approve the agenda, then, order.
So moved.
Second. Motion is second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Hearing none, we have an agenda. Moves this down to four. Roll call of staff and public.
Oh, Ted, excuse me. Ted Leonard, Ada.
Carson Rock, Ada.
Ada.
Jim Hensack, Ada.
Ellery Walker, Ada.
Steve Klein, First Infrastructure.
Jim Strandberg, Ada.
Mark Logan.
Oh, Mark Davis, Ada.
Sherry Peterson, Ada.
John Wood, son of Don Ovi.
Kelly Beach, Ada.
Brad Houston, Ada.
Fair Remedium Resource, Ada.
Bill Allen, Resource, Ada.
Peter Mannion, Equal Room Notes.
Jerry Jude, Ada, Fundamental Law.
Sam Morrison, Akajak.
Ben Kempner, Ada. Is there anybody on the phone? Nobody's on the phone at this time.
Okay. Roll call. Brings us to item five, public comments. I would open up public comments. Is there anyone from the public that would like to make any comments right now? Seeing none, we will close the public comment period. Move on to item six, our prior minutes from the March 29, 2013 board meeting. Motion will be in order. Motion approved. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is second. Any changes? Anything?
No.
All those in favor of the minutes as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Got our minutes. Brings us item 7, new business. A, resolution number G1302. I'm not going to read it all. So, Mr. Hunter.
Yes, Chair. To the board, the resolution before us is for the adoption of the regulations for our new SEPS program that was given to us last year by the legislature, that is for providing financing for sustainable energy transmission and supply development. And we have gone through a very arduous and long public hearing process to make sure that we get hopefully these regulations set correctly the first time, and we can move forward with financing energy projects and working with AEA. Chair, if it would be okay for you, I'd like to bring up our advisor, our director, and our energy development officer to answer any questions that the board may have on the regulations. And we also have Jerry, who helped tremendously with the regulations. Mark? Sure. It's your division.
Morning, Jim.
Good morning.
So, Chair, would you like us to go through a brief overview of the regulations? Jim, Steve?
Yeah, I believe you all... I'm Steve Klein. For the record, I'm the First Infrastructure based in New Jersey. I'm a consultant to the authority and have worked with folks you see here and others to develop a set of regulations for this program. I believe you all received a copy of a memorandum which I provided to the Executive Director, the Deputy Director, and to Mr. Strandberg, outlining in sort of short form the major items which we addressed in a set of revisions to these regulations after the original draft. After the original draft of the documents was completed and was circulated for public comment.
You should update the record.
Sorry, I shut my mouth. Let the record show that the guy who joined us. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's one of us at time.
I won't read the memo, but just to quickly summarize the process and the major outcomes of that revision process, what I'd like to emphasize is that we did receive comments from a variety of interested parties, both financial banking interests as well as what I would call trade associations representing potential users of the program. Those comments came both in the written form. In some cases, there were statements made at public hearings, et cetera. We reviewed all of those comments extensively, collated them, cross-referenced them. There were some common elements to some of the comments. And in a number of cases, we had subsequent conversations with the individuals who commented to clarify their points and, frankly, to clarify ours. Basically, there are three major issues which were raised by commenters and which led us to make revisions in the documents and the regulations. The first had to do with an appreciation that we gained from these comments with respect to the sequencing of documents related to purchase of power. As you know, this program is intended to finance energy development projects, and in order to do so, we would be undertaking a credit underwriting of those projects. And one of the critical elements of any project like that is the nature of the offtake arrangement, who's buying the power, on what terms, for what period of time. We had originally asked for an executed copy of that agreement at the time of application, and it was explained to us that that is, if not impossible, highly unlikely to occur as a matter of sequencing. And so we've made some revisions that allow us to take, at the time of application, a form of a document substantially complete in its terms, and then to review at closing a final executed version of that document for its consistency with the earlier document that was presented to us. The second item, which is probably the most significant, had to do with the nature of the security that we will require on any real property interests associated with the project. We had originally said in the regulations that we wanted only a first security interest, and again, as we came to appreciate better the nature of the kinds of projects we might be asked to undertake and the nature of their underlying financing, it became clear to us that simply wouldn't always be possible. And so what we've done then is to revise all the provisions in the regs that relate to real property security interests to allow for a subordinated interest. Obviously, we will still underwrite those projects rigorously, and they will have to pass muster in the broadest sense, but we're not insisting on a first interest. And then finally, an item that did engender a significant amount of conversation and that ultimately we actually chose to leave the regs where they had originally been was some discussion about the most appropriate index for setting interest rates on loans that the project makes. The regulations originally and still call for the use of the Federal Home Loan Bank rate set in Seattle on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. Another alternative index was suggested to us, an index set by the Ex-Im Bank and used actually globally for their activities with respect to hydro and nuclear power plants. We did some research. We actually went back about 4 years and tried to create a apples-to-apples comparison of the two indices. They do differ. On average, the The Ex-Im Bank rate is lower, but only by, on average, about a half of a percentage point. And insofar as the index that we use is only a base on which we would then add, obviously, costs of the program and a consideration for risk in the project, we felt that the home loan bank rate, which is used elsewhere by the authority and other programs, would be a more more straightforward and easier to administer index for benchmarking interest rates, and would not create a significant cost impact to an otherwise creditworthy borrower. And so we made the determination to leave that rate in place. So that's in its simple sort of highlight format, the things we changed. We're more than happy to go into any other details that anyone would like to raise with us. But I want to thank Jerry Jude, who worked with us every step of the way to make sure that the regs and the language we were using conform to state administrative law practice. And I think we've got a good product and a strong basis for moving forward and actually getting the project launched.
Thank you.
Any questions? I'm happy to entertain.
Questions from the board? Thank you for the session we had last week and going through this in more detail and all the work that your team has put into this.
It's been
difficult at times, but this is a pretty important part of our financing structure. So thanks for the work that you've done.
Thank you very much.
With that, did we get a motion to adopt already? No, motion to adopt would be in order.
So moved.
Motion for second.
Second.
Seconded. Roll call, please.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Arvin.
Yay.
Commissioner Butcher.
Yes.
Chair Short.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That brings us to item 7B, resolution number 1308.
Yes, Chair. Thank you, Chair. This resolution is to for the board to approve ADA to utilize funds to upgrade, do a major upgrade to our software system. And since this is a capital type expenditure, it comes through the board instead of going through our operating budget. The amount of funds we're requesting is $200,000 to do this upgrade. And Chair, if you would like, I could bring up our project accountant and our IT manager to answer any questions that the board may have for this project.
Sure.
Could you give your names for the records?
Brad Houston.
Kelly Beach.
Chair, are there any questions?
Maybe we can just get a brief 30-second explanation of what the software does. And
certainly. Start us off, and if it goes more technical, we'll jump in. The reason for this is every 18 months, the software company provides upgrades and needs fixes, patches, things like that. So this particular software handles, you know, ADA and AEDA has a variety of functions, loans, investments. We receive grants, we give out grants. So there's project accounting, there's the financial aspects, putting together the audits a year. So it's a wide range of an enterprise system, basically. So what they've done is put together all these fixes and patches and enhancements, and the technological advancements are offering this new version to be upgraded, which we've reviewed, and it has a lot of benefits to the user, a lot more access than what we currently have, so remote access for project managers and things like that.
Great. Any questions?
A couple. Kelly, Brad, is this upgrade, is this transition to a new building, if and when a new building gets built, that there's no issue with having to redo this in a new facility?
No, we don't have moves in this.
Okay. Is this software shared with AEA?
Yes.
Yes, so it's between the two agencies, right? And this is a single source of acquisition from an existing vendor. Okay, thank you.
Are there other state agencies that use this software, or are you unique?
Not that I'm familiar with. It's generally, this is tailored to nonprofit and government accounting. There are in the states a couple other agencies that are familiar with a central foundation to be being one of them.
Okay. Questions, Ms. Graham, Mr. Sheldon?
Okay, no, thank you.
Thank you. With that, a motion would be in order.
So moved.
Motion made, second by Mr. Wilkins. Roll call, please.
Mr. Wilkins?
Aye.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Arvin?
Yes.
Mr. Wilkins?
Yes.
Chair Short?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Very good. Moves us to item C.
Yes, Chair. Chair, this resolution would authorize ADA to utilize funds out of the Sustainable Energy and Transmission and Supply Development Fund to assist us moving forward with doing the feasibility and due diligence for the Interior Gas Plant. And just last week, the legislature passed SB 23, which would allow ADA to utilize up to $275 million in financing to assist in building a LNG plant on the North Slope and assisting in the development of the distribution system in the Fairbanks area. So we are requesting the ability to use up to $1 million of funds to out of the SETS funds to continue our process until the legislation is signed by the governor, and also when we get the capital appropriation at the end of June to move forward with this project. So in essence, what these funds are allowing us to do is like what we use in our resolution funds of doing the pre-feasibility and feasibility. This allows us to continue forward with the project to be ready to give that feasibility report to the board in June, and also allows us to continue on the process that so we don't lose any time. The goal of the legislation is to have gas to Fairbanks at the end of 2015, the first quarter of 2016. And we believe by allowing us to use these funds up front right now, we can keep moving forward on that time frame while giving the board a good project, product in the feasibility to make the decision on finally going forward. We have Mark Davis and Jim Strandberg here that could answer any questions on the project. We've given you, you know, updates on the project, but they're here and could come up to let you know where we're at in the process and where we're going in this next few months.
That'd be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah, please join us.
So, Rick, my name is Mark Davis. Let me explain a little bit about the basis of the resolution and the statute. The asset statute that sets out the underlying SETS fund explicitly provides that the board can use funds in the SETS monies that we have to look at projects that may be funded by SETS. SB 23 and the Section 10, the uncodified section, provides for the financing that the executive director described, and two of those portions would come from SETS. So, therefore, the board can use some of the corpus of the fund to do a due diligence review, which is explicitly part of the statute, which is not typical of our ADA statutes. It states, for example, that we can hire professional advisors, attorneys, and bond counsel, and it actually follows more of the format that used by Alaska Housing Finance. So what we've been doing on our side is we've hired a series of consultants. That include the lead team is a company called HDR, and they have associated with a company in Savannah, Georgia called MEI, who specializes in LNG plant development. We've also been working with Northern Economics and ADA, a joint partnership, and we've been paying a legal fees to counsel, particularly with regard to regulatory issues that might affect the project. Looking at the need to keep going on the project before we get to the preparation that was coming July 1st, it was our determination that the statutory authority within the Assets Act would be appropriately used, because most of the funding for the project was come from SET. That is either a $125 million loan or a $57.5 million.
And $150 million bond
authorization is also set bond. So this is the LNG project, although I don't think the public perceives it that way, this is a set project. It's using the statutory powers that we have, for which we thank the governor and the legislature for giving us those tools. And so now we want to dip into that corpus a little bit. It will be paid back if this project goes forward, because there's the interest that will be paid over time, and so actually you'll make back the money. But what we have now is the ability to keep hiring private people to help us. This is the model we want to use. We're hiring more consultants. We have an added staff, right? And that's been working really well. We are in the process of really determining the cost of the plant, and we've got a pretty good figure on that now. We've hired a company called Toa out of Canada, working with HDR to develop the mechanics of a trucking operation and make sure it's entirely feasible. So we've got another company we've hired. So each specialist is doing a discrete task.
What's the name of that company?
Prolog.
Prolog?
No, from Canada. They have experience in working with transporting LNG and LNG-powered trucks.
In the Arctic environment.
Yes, in northern environments, which is why they're trucking. And MEI helped us, the company that works in LNG worldwide, helped us select that company. So we're looking, and each time we come up against something we need to look at, we're going out and hiring a discrete expert to do that. And actually, frankly, we need a little bit of money to keep going until we get to the appropriation that we get through the large SB23 bill.
How much do you think the total due diligence process of this is going to cost to get to a point where you can present a recommendation to the board on either a go or no go?
Chairman Schwartz, an excellent question. And I don't actually have a hard budget, but looking at how much we spent to date and the request in this authorization, it's going to run probably about $3 million at a minimum, because of what we spent to date and what we're asking for here.
And part of that, though, Chair, is we are also moving forward as if we're doing this project to ensure we can meet that time frame on the permitting that we're already doing, looking at the permitting and the site and those things. So it's sort of a blended, and we can give you a breakout of the just the due diligence if you want. I'd say it's more in the million and a half range, but
right.
Again, these are blended costs to keep us moving forward while at the same time finishing the due diligence.
One difference of this project is that some of the due diligence, for example, with the Jeffrey Jackson project, is that we hired a team to look at issues about the rig. Those costs are pure due diligence, and they don't really contribute to moving it forward. And this project is one of set. Some of the work that's being done on the due diligence side actually leads up to the issue perhaps of an air permit. So
Or the design.
So they won't be duplicated. Some will actually be investment. Investment money for due diligence actually moves the project forward. And that's more similar to the Amber Road when we do the issue of doing the EIS. He says once you've invested in the EIS, you kind of move the project forward a little bit. So this is a little different than the traditional project-based stuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So is there money in the budget upcoming for this, or and what amount is that?
Mr. Bush, the chair, the SB 23 legislation has an appropriation of $57.5 million, and that statute will allow us to use some of those funds to continue the project, but we won't get those funds until July. That's a basis for asking for the resolution.
Okay, through the chair. So when we did get the funding, it would then go back into the SETS fund to replace the $57 million we're taking out of the corpus, or?
I can quickly, Chair, go through the parts. And you're right, Commissioner Butcher, is that actually there's four parts of the funding of this. Yeah. They are transferring $57.5 million out of the corpus of the SETS fund to be utilized for this project through the capital appropriation. We are giving a $125 million transfer to the SETS fund to utilize for lending to the project at 3%. And then we have the authorization to issue bonds up to $150 million with a state moral obligation. And then in our operating budget, or in the fiscal note, they also gave us approximately $700,000 of receipts to utilize for project management. And what Mark was saying, that based on the SETS fund, the $125 million that they are transferring up to us to loan out on this project will generate 3% interest that will come back to the whole $25 million. The whole loan payments will come back to recapitalize the SETS fund over the amortization period of that loan.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I guess my questions are about structure. As this thing starts to kick off, and I anticipate I'll probably be asked a few questions at home. So if you could just help me today, and then as we march on, let me know who the players are and who's doing what. And one question would be, whom are you working with in Fairbanks right now to sort of put this all together? Is there an entity? Is the Interior Gas utility part of it? Who's your point of contacts up there right now?
Which was it? So we've been in contact with a lot of entities. We had a meeting in February where we met with VIGU, the Interior Gas Utility, Fairbanks Natural Gas, and GBA. They all had several people there.
And also borough and city representatives.
We've been in constant contact with all those groups since. We're looking at developing a plant that will produce the LNG on the slope, and the method, we have not yet finalized a method of delivery, how that would be delivered, whether we would be engaged in getting the gas to Fairbanks, or whether we would sell the gas more like FOB at the plant and let people pick up the gas. So we're talking to potential customers of the plant, right? And we had, I think that Ted met with GBA on Friday and for a discussion on that very issue. So we're not going to finalize that yet. We're open to talking to anybody who needs to get.
And I think, Gary. Also, we are working hand in hand with AGA, and Gene Terrio is sort of our Sarah, walk in. Sarah, could you come up, since you're our partners in this, the lead on discussing the issues on distribution with IGU, Fairbanks Natural Gas, and the borough, and how that build out is, so that Gene's sort of our lead right now with the community, or our point man in essence with the community groups working with us on this plan.
So we have this group that you folks, that I'll just for purposes of illustration, is Anchorage centric. And so we don't have a group in Fairbanks that we're working with, but what we're doing is putting in place some sort of a plan based on these HDRs and other folks to present, to put together the availability of another entity to come to use the SB 23 legislation. Is that where we are?
Well, Mr. Boyd, I would probably recharacterize it. Well, what we're trying to do is make sure that we can accomplished what the governor set forth in the future gas plan, which is the time that the director said to be able to get the gas in fast, quick enough time that it makes sense to do the project, that we can deliver the gas at a rate either wholesale or to the burner tip, however you want to phrase it, two different rates, that is, it will make a conversion so that Fairbanks, a significant portion of Fairbanks will change over. Okay. And as I said, we're working very close with AA and with Gene Cherio. And he is based in Fairbanks. His office, he's down here quite a bit. He's in Fairbanks. And so he's available to, to always be in contact with people up there. And then we've done site visits, and we've been up to Fairbanks. We've also done site visits in North Slope. And a lot of this project right now is focused on the North Slope. That is, we're looking to make sure we can get a pad up there that will work, that we can get a permit for that pad, that we can get all the requirements for the operating units. So there's a lot of work there that is not yet in Fairbanks. We've got to make sure the North Slope location works. And we're looking at a variety of alternatives. We're going through those to see which one is the best.
And so if somebody asked me the question, the answer is, what are you doing? AEA and ADA are calling in help, professional help, to develop a structure that will then be presented to interested parties to pursue the goals of the legislation. And those folks are AEA and HDR, a group from Savannah. You've already named off three today. I want to get those names. That's the paragraph that I want to tell people.
Right. When our consultants, for the record, are HDR, and they're associated with NEI, and HDR is also associated with Prologue in Canada. And then we have Northern Economics, and that's called NEI. Recently, they kind of changed this letter. And they're working very close with AEA on the demand side. Because AEA has an expertise on use of energy. And then there's also issues of how you might use the propane, and that has been an issue. That'll be an issue, I believe, and certainly more for AEA than AEA. And to make sure we have a rural energy plan in plan.
And, but don't get me wrong, I'm very comfortable with where we are right now. I'm really okay with this. What I'm uncomfortable with is me being asked questions and not being able to answer them, or try to answer them, make it look like I know what I'm doing, and doing something to hurt your efforts. So,
Right now we're really focused on the North Slope.
But Mark, if I could just say something, I think what you're saying, Gary, and I agree, that we are right now in the process of also setting up a way to communicate with the communities. First of all, communicate with our board, the governor's office, and the communities as we move forward from this process. We've just completed, got the legislation, but I agree with you. And there's, Gene, thank you, Gene. That is a very critical and important part that I tasked last week as Sarah and I and Gene have talked in moving forward. Because one of the other things I just wanted to quickly say is that there's really two sections to this project. One is developing the ability to provide a supply, i.e. a gas plant on the slope. The second one is financing with the community the distribution system. ADA will not, or AEA, will not own this distribution system. We will be working with Fairbanks Natural Gas, IGU, and the community to build out that distribution system, which is, when we're talking with the legislature, is that chicken and egg, the reason why this hasn't happened before, even when we looked at it years ago, was that you have to build the demand and supply at the same time. So this truly has to be a partnership with the community, walking hand in hand, and communication is the key to that.
Could I interject? Because I think the other issue, because I'm getting a lot of questions as well, and I don't feel like I know enough about the project and the gates and the process and the timeline to answer the questions well. And I think the issue really is we had a presentation at Fairbanks in January, I believe. And we, I think there needs to be some sort of work session probably put in place with the board. Because really, from my perspective, the weight of this project as to does it financially make sense? Is it cost effective? When it hits the consumer, will it be cheaper? Will it meet the expectations of a cheaper energy source as what's been said in the presentations? I mean, all of that falls on this board at this point in time.
You bet.
And so I don't think, I feel like I'm prepared to assess that, realizing that this process just started. And I think that's probably my biggest concern. And I hear Mr. Wilkin stating that, I think, in much the same way. And I don't know if any of the other board members feel this way, but this is a huge responsibility, huge project, and it's a significant amount of money. And if we're not successful in the execution of this, and we fail to deliver a cheaper energy source after spending $400 million on a distribution system, $150 million on an LNG plant, storage, all of this, and it hits the consumer, and it's 5 cents cheaper, there's going to be a lot of fingers pointing everywhere saying, where did the ball drop? And so that's, I think that's the big concern that I have personally about this project, is I just don't feel like I feel like it's moved very quickly, and I haven't been able to keep up with the progress, and I feel like perhaps we need to spend some time as a board on a work session specifically on this issue.
And, Chair, and I agree with you 100%. As we went through the legislation, we have told the legislature that even with the passage of SB 23, that ADA would have to go through the process of the process that we use in any project of going through that pre-feasibility, the due diligence, and having the board make the decision whether or not this is a feasible project. And this is in actuality what we're asking the board for right now through this resolution, is to provide us the monies to be able to finish that process, to come to the board in June with the product. And I agree that we can, as we're going through this feasibility process, we can cut out to provide work sessions as we move through this feasibility process. But in essence, this is what the resolution is requesting to have the energy to make that investment to be able to move forward.
Let me pause and see if there's a, before you speak, Mark, there's other questions from the board about this.
Well, maybe a comment, if I could, and kind of circling back on what Gary said and Ted. I think, too, although there's this huge initiative to deliver lesser cost energy to the interior, I guess I'm hearing questions, and I read the preamble that you sent out about Prologue and how you're sourcing HDR and as it moves through the daisy chain of service providers for information. I think it begs the question why we're reaching out to somebody, some outfit in Canada, to give us trucking information about moving commodities from the North Slope to interior Alaska when we have decades-long experience with Alaskan companies that can provide, I'm sure, a wealth of information. I don't want to get in the weeds on what you guys are doing, but I think it's important that we not lose sight that there is, for features of this, although we have LNG production in the valley, it's very slow. They've been trucking LNG to Fairbanks. We've got other carriers and activities that represent some 100 trips a day in the preamble that was called out, with a forecast of some much larger number. I can't recall now what it said as time moves on, but it's, I'm not protectionist minded. We've had this discussion before, but there are subject matter experts within Alaska that have specific real estate experience in that particular routing and that particular part, not just North American or Arctic experience in Canada, but rather in Alaska where the work is actually going to be taken. So I would encourage you, when you're when you're doing your due diligence, not to lose sight of that, because I don't think it's in the best interest of Alaska or Alaskans' money to be reaching outside when we know we have subject matter experts here that can help develop your cost model.
And just really, and I agree with you, Board Member Arp. And again, why we're using Prologue right now is just was to come up to say, was this number that was provided to us by the participants in the RFI a feasible number? The issue we have and where we have to be careful is that all the people, participants you've mentioned, are participants that we would use in a RFP or an RFI going out to provide the trucking. So, again, this first blush that we used, this Prologue, or whatever the company was just to verify that are the numbers within the range for doing Arctic, that as we move through the process and working with the communities and the companies, we definitely will be using Alaskan companies for that process and aspirates. Is again, the reason that HDR brought this one in was just to make that initial assessment that can you do transportation of LNG in the Arctic at, was it, Jim, $4?
$4 a gallon.
A gallon. But as we narrow this down and do the true due diligence, we will be using those Alaskan resources.
Yeah, that's kind of because we're trying to make sure that we don't give any person who might want to contract with the business an inside track by hiring them as a consultant.
I get all that. I think you understand my point, though. I know you have certain boxes you have to work in, but to circle back, and this isn't an AEA meeting, but we heard a lot about procurement and how it was done and how it's being done on Wantana. This project's just rolling out. It's going to be a large project. And I don't think it's in AEA, ADA's, the state of Alaska, the administration's best interest to revisit some of those challenges that we have and continue to have on services sourcing and how we're gathering the information.
I understand.
And what I was going to, if I could, yeah, we have our standard chart here, and I'm working on this thing. We're really moved into phase two, if you remember your project chart. And so that means we're in the process of looking at the business and finance plan and the execution of development plan. And one of the things we look at development plan is whether the people that say they can move the gas for X number of dollars per gallon, right, we're correct. So we're trying to verify those things to make sure there's viability of the project. So for the board purposes, we really are moved into phase two. And at the end of phase two, that's when we really go to the board and brief the board. And that's a step, and I think we should do it with work groups, because this is a big enough project, it would be hard to do it in one session.
Well, perhaps, Ted, you and I can talk about
setting up
the process. Process.
And we would be more than welcome that, Chair.
Because this, the bumper stickers, we're beyond the bumper sticker stage now, it's time to get to work. So there's some things that would help me and hopefully help the rest of us. We know what we're going to do, that's SB23, that's clear, as clear as it can be. We now need to answer the question how, and I go back to this chart that you folks passed out a month or so ago, and I think Jim put this together some time ago. And Jim and I have been talking about it. It's helpful to me if we can, not on a chart like this, but the steps are certainly important. And this is where HDR is working. This is where somebody else is working. This is, and we take this elephant, we carve it up into these big steps, and this is the effort that's going on with gas supply. That would help me, and I think people that will talk to me and talk to us will understand how we've broken this project down. So if we could develop this with some thought, Jim, about how to add maybe dollars or certainly people to this, I think it's helpful. If not, you see where I'm headed. Before I go ahead.
I'm happy to make a few comments on that at an appropriate time.
Okay. And then I'm really glad, Mark, that you pulled that chart out, because I'm going to have that in my wallet. And so when people say, so what are you doing? I say, well, here's our four columns of process, and we've done this, and we're right here. This is where we are today with the AAEA process. I mean,
and that's really what we told the legislature, that we were going to follow our standard process. We had to wait until we had the bill before we could really move forward much farther. But just because we have a bill doesn't mean we're going to vary our language for the project.
Well, I think that's my fallback, is that very structured, very clear chart about what our process is. Because this is not a giveaway program. This is not $355 million shipped out the door thinking that we've got an $800 million project solved. This is the process we're going through. And people, as frustrating it'll be to go through that, we need to tell people this is where we're headed. And I think the team in place is excellent. I mean, this guy was born to do this job. So I'm completely comfortable with Gene being the lead on this thing. But there's going to be a lot of tough questions. There's a lot of expectations now that the bumper stickers are gone. And I want to help to the extent I can, being the local guy. And I want all of us to be spun up to have exactly what happens not to happen if we spend that kind of money and end up with price gas, price energy the same. So that's what we don't want. So, right, thank you for your indulgence and your time.
And Chair, if you would like to think about a committee, we're moving forward in steps that, you know, either this session, this board meeting, or within a week or so of setting up a committee, that would
Let's make sure to revisit that by the end of the meeting.
And
we maybe at an Addie's we can talk a little bit about you bet what that would look like.
I want to suggest perhaps public communication. I've had a number of requests for PowerPoints and information, and Ted's been very helpful. And perhaps what we probably should do is, along the lines of Susan Latano, which we set up a website that contains all this information, a place for people to go, contact information, contractors, and be very transparent about how we move forward. I think in that $3 million that you mentioned, we should be able to squeeze out a little bit of money to build a website and buy a domain name and do something like that, because I think it's going to make your jobs easier and it's going to make our jobs easier. And it can be one place we can go where I can say, when someone comes to me, what's going on with this project? Well, why don't you go to www,
you bet, Chair.
We've been discussing public relations efforts and the need for a presence in Fairbanks.
And
we'll have a proposal for you.
Not only in Fairbanks. This is a statewide project. I'm sure there's people in the Valley talking about this. There's a lot of people in Anchorage talking about this. There's people in Bethel talking about this. And so you mentioned propane, and there's people in the villages talking about this. So this is a statewide project. Mm-hmm.
And AEA has volunteered their public relations team to work on this issue.
Yeah, if I can add to build on what you've been talking about, is Ted and I had a very timely meeting yesterday to talk about, you know, the distribution portion of it and having Gene lead up that effort. We have the technical team to do that. Kirk Warren is our technical engineer that understands this business and has worked in the gas distribution field. So he reports to Gene. Gene will be heading that portion up. The other portion that AEA will be taking care of is the public outreach effort, including when the legislation is signed and the public presence during that process. So Emily Ford is taking that up. She was actually very instrumental in Shemoniac during our legislative team. So that team is now transitioning to post-session public outreach and communication efforts on these issues. So I think the other thing that we talked about doing is getting all this in writing. So internally, all of us have on our desk who's doing what. What contractors that we have, make sure that you guys have that information to know if there are questions that come up from the Interior Gas Utility or from other entities in Fairbanks. We also have the university is an entity that we need to bring back in to have discussions with respect to their plans and if this project fits into their
future plans a little bit better now than maybe, you know, several months ago, or what their efforts are. So those are all things that the AEA team is really working on with Gene leading up that effort.
We anticipate having some formal agreements between AEA and ADA. This is a partnership. We told Leslie that, and that's how we're proceeding.
Then it goes back to what we've talked about with ADA and AEA, having that sort of marriage of using ADA's project financing expertise with AEA's energy development expertise, and sort of the same type of process we use with going through the legislation, talking to the legislature. Sarah said yesterday that, and she's right, that she and I probably spent more time together this last 80 days than we have with our spouses. So this partnership, I think.
Understand.
Yeah, no. That's why I said I'm sure that wasn't by her decision. But it brings together the strengths of both organizations in trying to do this project.
And this is, by all accounts, a major project. And so, set that aside for a moment. I think our challenge right now is to manage expectations and materialize it. And the way we do that is by providing good, solid information to give them confidence that there's people moving on their behalf. And as much as they want cheaper energy, there's a process to go through it. The team is in place and working hard on it. That's the expectation, and that's the confidence we want to give those folks, my neighbors, as we put 23 in place. Thank you.
Further questions from the board? If not, a motion to adopt would be in order.
So moved.
So motion, is there a second?
Second.
By Commissioner Butcher, for the record. Roll call, please.
Mr. Wilton.
Aye.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Arvin.
Yay.
Commissioner Butcher.
Yes.
Chair Short.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Can we take a 5-minute break?
Yeah.
Jim.